Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, you shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his neighbor will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his neighbor, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your neighbor has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your neighbor, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly, while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. What a powerful gospel we hear on this day in June. Of course, the line that pops out to us, always has, probably always will, and should, is if you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your brother or sister has anything at all against you, leave the gift, go first be reconciled, and then come back and offer your gift. In other words, don't offer shallow gifts. Don't just go through the motions. Don't offer superficial gifts. Don't offer phony gifts that don't really reflect your life. The integrity of our prayer depends upon the integrity of our hearts. And the integrity of our hearts depends not only on what we say or pray, but really and more so on what we live. Do we live the reconciliation of God made totally manifest in the person of Jesus Christ? Do we truly live that reconciliation? Do we strive to live peace and unity every day of our lives? Do we really examine our consciences at the beginning of every Eucharist, and actually every time we pray for that matter, and ask where we need to participate more fully, more truthfully in the gift of reconciliation that has been granted us? Catholics do not read or interpret the Bible literally. Thank God. Or this very passage would render our churches empty before the collection could even be taken. Thank God for the wisdom that guides us beyond literalism and presses us further into the real depths of what the sacred scriptures are trying to teach us. We all know that this passage needs to be preached over and over again, and all of us need to hear this passage over and over again. But whoever preaches it must first live it, so as to know it by heart. Only then, speaking from heart to heart, can preachers dare to tackle this passage and this preaching. Before the church preaches reconciliation, the church must become reconciliation itself. Before the church preaches reconciliation, the church must live and breathe reconciliation. Then, and only then, will its preaching, charism, and ministry be legitimate and credible. The church can do that. The church has done that. The greatest example for me of the church being reconciliation, of the church settling with people throughout the world who have been hurt by the church before offering gifts at the altar. The greatest example for me was Saint Pope John Paul II in the 2000 Jubilee year. Against the advice of many, if not most, of his cardinal advisors, he begged forgiveness of the entire world for the sins of our church. Going back centuries and centuries, he identified our corporate sins and begged the world's forgiveness. What courage! It could only have come from the Holy Spirit. Too bad more of his closest advisors were not anxious enough to come to know that same Spirit. I remember thinking when I read and heard what he had said in his apology, I remember thinking, wow, as a church, we will soar to the heights because of his humility and candor. Because of this example, we are about to soar. But it seems soaring was not in the cards as much as defensiveness and same old protecting of self-interests was in the cards. We did not take off as a church of apology. We stood firm, sadly. And both church and world have paid the price of our not grasping the moment that Pope John Paul II offered us. But the good news today is that the living, breathing, walking, talking example of Pope Francis is reopening the door to that humility and reintroducing us to that most sacred moment once again. Name the topic yourself. You name the topic. You name the crisis. You name the conflict. Name anything and anyone in church things today, and you will see Francis reopening the doors to reconciliation. At every level, he is throwing the doors wide open, just like Vatican II asked us to do. The greatest example that Francis is giving us is the recent reconciliation with the American sisters, inviting the leaders of the American congregations to Rome after a several-year visitation by the Vatican officials. Sitting there face-to-face with four of the American sister leaders, and quietly and with great dignity, reconciling them to church and church to them. Pope Francis closed the door on exaggerated concern, uninformed suspicion, and much less than charitable judgment. He closed that door and opened the door of contrition, humility, mutual respect, and overwhelming gratitude. He healed the relationship between the church and this great company of American sisters who have given their lives to God through the church. Francis is living out of the same spirit that emboldened the papacy of Pope John Paul II to apologize to the world. If you bring your gift to the altar and there recall that your neighbor has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother and sister, and then come and offer your gift. When will the world witness the church doing it over and over again? When the world does do it over and over again, the world will have a more reasonable chance to listen up and to follow. May God give us all, the laity, the religious, the clergy, the hierarchy, may God give us all the courage to get real about this gospel and to address the challenge of humility and contrition and apology squarely in our own religious practice and faith lives. Then and only then will God's people follow. God's people will follow a church that practices first and then preaches.